fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. He has traveled the world to bring you the story. Get it first, fast, and unfiltered. Now, this is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Right, how about a little NFL hate? Well, maybe not hate. The NFL regular season kicks off tonight in Seattle with the Green Bay Packers playing the Seattle Seahawks. And I usually keep a running tally of NFL players arrested in the offseason, but I stopped. I know there is a website that, Travis McKenzie has brought in the updated list of NFL players and their arrests. Oh, this is boring. This is just the substance policy violation suspensions. Oh, the arrests are, but those are, like, I'm talking about the stuff like DUI and stuff like that. Assault. These are just player suspensions. It's been a pretty busy off season for the NFL. We'll leave aside Jim Irsay for a minute, but the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. I would say there's about 25 guys that were suspended for substance policy violation issues. There's a bunch of off-season player suspensions, violations of the team's social media policy. That's a minor one. Violation of the league's good conduct policy. That's Ray Rice, 2 games. And, it's been a pretty busy off-season for the NFL. And the reason we're dealing with that is because there'll be a ton of NFL love all over the media in the next couple of days or so. Well, I'm just wondering, as a football fan, I always want to try to take the temperature of things. All these off-season suspensions, the Ray Rice incident, Johnny Manziel. The stuff like this dampen your enthusiasm for the NFL? It doesn't not matter. And I'd like the more intelligent of you out there to explain to me how it is and why it is that NFL fans are so ready to forgive and forget. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590, because there's no other sport like it. I mean, seriously. There is no other sport where its fan base is just so readily willing to forget. Ray Lewis is a folk hero in the NFL. How does that happen? I would argue that wouldn't happen in any other sport. And, maybe there's a reason for it. But we have always held NFL players to a lower standard than any other sport. And that goes back to even steroid, the congressional steroid investigation. Everybody holds baseball's feet to the fire. Mm-hmm. Nobody takes the NFL to task. The NFL, I think they finally negotiated an HGH testing agreement. Like about a year after everybody else. But it doesn't seem to matter. Football media, you never see them doing all this introspective stuff about steroids that baseball media did. Oh, here we go. These are the off-field things. So these are just this is like the non... Right, the San Diego Union Tribune. So we're talking 32, by my guess. They have a database of all the miscreants in the NFL. You know, a bunch of things. Failure to appear in court from a previous traffic citation, driving under the influence, misdemeanor battery following a fight at a strip club, prostitution ring, misdemeanor hit and run charges, and felony possession of brass knuckles. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, a lot of the stuff you can't laugh at, obviously. But again, any other sport, I would argue that it'd be a crisis. The NFL, nobody minds. Bill in Mississauga, you're on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, explain this to me.
Hey, Jeff, because you know why? I think we sit down and it's a getaway from our mundane lives. We watch the NFL, we criticize, we're all armed to our quarterbacks, and, you know, we amaze at the plays, and it's an escape for us. It's an escape just like all sports. And with the whole legal thing, most people, like, big deal. Who cares?
Should it be that way?
You did that in everyday life, in your job. You went in every day to the Fan and you looked up at who got arrested this week and substance abuse violations.
At this place?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be anybody.
I know. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. This is not normal. You know, it's not. People have this idea that it's normal to be cited for DUI. I mean, it happens, but it's really not a good thing.
No, not now. Like, it's not socially acceptable. And these guys, I think that they think they're above everything else because they're in the NFL. They have millions and millions of people watching them, and they're revered. And, yeah, it's...
No, you know, I mean, the main thing is they travel around, a lot of them travel around with a bunch of fart catchers. That's really what it is. You know, guys who, yeah, you're a good dude. You're a good guy. Yeah, that's all right. We'll cover for you. And that's a large part of the issue. Oh, look, I understand. People are going to say, Jeff, there's so many more football players than there are, you know, players in any other sport. So the percentage chances of players being arrested is may not be that much greater. But I'm sorry. I think it is. It was any other sport. These guys would be run out of the league. Justin in Mississauga, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
I say practice for myself personally, being a Bills season ticket holder, you have to have patience and you have to have...
Oh, good Lord, you have my condolences.
Right? But I think you hit it just now regarding different than any other sport. It's the only sport that has full contact, aggression.
Yep.
The only closest to gladiator. And I think as regular folk, when you do see, and I'm not condoning this by any means, when you do see the aggression, the abuse, the, you know, the DUIs, you know, these guys are just aggressive by nature, angry. And I think that's why we probably forgive them more, because of their sport. I think if you saw this in baseball, you would be more surprised, because it's a different sport altogether. Also for forgiving them, it's the least amount of games that we see. And we just want the NFL, because there's only, 16 games a season?
Great point.
60 games. I think you'd be fed up by now with it if you were always recurring instances. So I think that being a gladiator sport for sure.
Yeah, that's a great point, Justin. I appreciate it. And you've hit in the other thing as well, the NFL. I mean, the beauty of the NFL is a scarcity of product, right? Relative to other sports, because it's once a week. I mean, once every 2 weeks, if your team has a bye. It is a scarcity of product. It absolutely is. You know, the NFL is just so hugely successful because it's got a lot of built-in advantages other sports don't have. Its players are developed for them. Someone else develops your players. You know that in baseball. You got to draft a guy. You got to go through the minor leagues and all that stuff. Not in football. You just pick a guy out of a college. The college has done all the work for you. Most of the work, anyhow. You've got a limited number of games. So the buildup is tremendous. The churn, the news churn, the creation of a sense of expectation. It's all built in. There's no other sport that does that. And there's no other sport that has figured out how to maximize the game day experience. I mean, I think they've over-maximized it because I don't, you know, a lot of the pre-game shows in the NFL, just a bunch of ex-players sitting around spouting truisms and cliches. It's the most overanalyzed sport around. But that's also part of the fact that it's once a week. Got lots of time to talk about stuff. Nick, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Good, man.
First-time caller. Pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you and welcome.
I think when people talk about baseball players, hockey players, it's like just in general, they're a little more a timid type of guys. And, you know, we refer to the NHL players as kind of the class of the sports world, right? And I think just because of the personalities and the history, Ray Lewis, you mentioned, guys like Michael Irvin and the personalities, Terrell Owens and the Ocho Cincos, I think there's more of a built-in expectation that these things are just going to happen with football players. And I think that, you know, it might take away from what you were talking about. Like, you know, it's almost like how come there's no, you know, if you heard that Sidney Crosby had punched his wife in the face, I mean, the thought is ludicrous, right? But, I mean, you know, Ray Rice hits his wife, and I know these guys go on TV, and, you know, they act like, you know, it was a terrible thing, but, I mean, was there really the shock value that there would be if you know, news had come out that Crosby had hit his wife? Or, you know what I mean? So there's a big difference between the two.
Part of the deal, too, though, is, I mean, really, it is a very... The NFL media, with all due respect, are the most forgiving media around. I mean, they are. They feed into the thing. They feed into the whole thing. The Ray Rice incident was one time that I think people really stood up and said, wait a minute. And I don't know how much of that had to do with the fact that the average football fan looked at that and said, domestic violence. You're telling me it's two games. I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that people compared that suspension to what guys were getting for possessing marijuana. Let's go to Rudy. You're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hello, Rudy.
How's it going, Blair?
Good, man.
I think you're blowing this thing way out of proportion. Personally, that's just my opinion. We're all entitled to our own, but you know, do people stop watching, you know, 2 and a Half Men because Charlie Sheen gets caught for drugs? No, they want to watch it even more. People don't stop listening to the Rolling Stones because they do drugs and other bands and artists and stuff like that. You know, you get a show called Family Jewels if you go and
see it. It's a little different than women. It's a little different than beating up your wife, though, isn't it?
No, for
or
sure.
Or having friends that, you know, are involved in murder and you're just kind of, well...
Well, obviously, if you're talking about, you know, your babysitter getting caught for drugs and the lady who carpools your children to work or to school with the DUI, then yeah, you got situations that personally affect your life. Charlie Sheen, Mick Jagger, what do these people have to do? They're entertainment. Same thing as these athletes. Doesn't matter what sport it is. Some sports just do a better job of hiding it, you know what I mean, and keeping it covered up because they don't want the bad publicity on their sport.
I'll tell you what, I don't think any sport covers up the way the NFL does. You honestly believe that there aren't guys using HGH or steroids in the NFL?
Oh, I would guess maybe 70% of them are.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about, you know, take a sport like the NHL and all the problems Darren Fleury went through, smoking, crack, hanging out with street people.
That gets you elected mayor in Toronto, though.
Oh, absolutely. Or Washington, D.C.
That's true.
But... Did the NHL make a point to bring this out into the media to suspend Darren Fleury and all that? No, they tried to get him help, which is a good thing, but they kept it under us. They didn't want bad publicity surrounding the NHL. Thinking, oh, we have players smoking crack on the streets with people in New York? Obviously, that's one small incident. And like you said, the amount of players that play in the NFL, there's a ton of them, and there's way too many problems. But it doesn't affect our lives, so what do we care? So long as he provides for my fantasy team and helps me cash a parlay,
whatever.
There you go, Rudy. You are the perfect football fan. I appreciate you calling in. And I'm not hammering Rudy on it. That's absolutely right. And believe me, I don't go to any professional, college, hell, even amateur sports event, or to any concert and look for, you know, moral purity. I do go to be entertained. I mean, I'm the guy who thinks baseball was more exciting when guys were taking steroids. And you've heard me say that. I want to be entertained. I have no problem suspending some of my moral guidelines to be entertained at all. It just seems to me that it's a thing in the NFL and it's much more easier, much quicker, much more quickly forgiven than it is in any other sport. The Seattle Seahawks, the defending Super Bowl champions, are 17-1 at home in the last 2 years. And guess what? They get the open defense of their Super Bowl title at home tonight against the Green Bay Packers. A pretty good marquee matchup for the first regular season game. Jerry Brewer is a columnist with the Seattle Times. Jerry Brewer joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Jerry, I would imagine that the sense of anticipation right now in Seattle must be off the charts.
Oh, it definitely is. I mean, that people want to see that banner raised or lowered or whatever they do with it. And the anticipation for this game, I mean, people have been waiting for it for months. The Seahawks fans have this air of superiority about them. They feel like they can't be beaten at all, especially at home. But you don't get a much tougher test than Aaron Rodgers and a Green Bay team that has Super Bowl aspirations themselves.
You know, Jerry, I look at Russell Wilson. The guy's obviously already won a Super Bowl. He's a tremendous player. And I look at him and I think, you know what? 3 or 4 years down the road, I don't think we're halfway through figuring out how good Russell Wilson can be, are we?
No, we're not. And you can see he's taken a significant step forward this year, particularly with his accuracy. I mean, we haven't seen a live game yet, but we've seen it in the preseason. I've seen it in practices. There's an attention to detail that is at a greater level for Russell Wilson. He's got better weapons at wide receiver. I mean, the guy completed, 78% of his passes in the little bit of action that he got in the preseason. And the Seahawks have really tailored the offense to his specifications. Russell's a guy, he throws a beautiful deep ball. They've added speed. He's a guy, he's not good at a lot of the intermediate stuff because he's a short quarterback at 5'11". So they've kind of said, well, let's scrap some of the traditional things that other teams might try to do there, getting the ball particularly over the middle of the field in the intermediate area, and let's focus on really stretching the field and giving him opportunities when he rolls out to see a lot of different players in space. And that's going to be a big difference you see in the Seahawks offense. I don't think the Seahawks offense is one that's going to just kind of 3 yards in a cloud of dust with Marshawn Lynch over and over and over again. They have more versatility to them this year.
Seattle Times columnist Jerry Brewer joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. It seems to me that the Seahawks have become what we used to associate with the New England Patriots, and that they've become a team. They've got great individual players at key positions, but they've also got a coach and a system that allows for new players to come in and learn on the run and absorb things very quickly. And we're seeing that with this team, aren't we?
Yeah, that's what they hope to be. I mean, obviously New England's been doing it for 14, 15 years at that level, and the Seahawks, this is really just their third year. So they got a long way to go there, but I think that's an accurate comparison in that you have a young quarterback, like when they found Brady after Bledsoe got hurt. You've got a very particular way of doing things, and they're unafraid to let guys go. They're unafraid to go to young players, to draft unconventionally. They really understand who they are, and I think that's what's going to be able to get them through. You look at this team, and it would be a huge shock if they're not good for the next 4 or 5 years, and then according to how they draft, that 4 or 5 years could turn into 8 to 10 years.
You know, one of the things that has always intrigued me, or at least in the past 3 years has really intrigued me about this team and Pete Carroll, is their ability to respond to some of the changes in the NFL in the NFL rules. I'm thinking this year now, the points of emphasis on grabbing and some of the pushing that goes on in the defensive backfield. I see that the Seahawks in the preseason, I don't think, took a penalty, a defensive holding penalty in the secondary. And a lot of people thought a lot of these rule changes, Jerry, as you well know, came from the way Seattle plays defense. What is it about the Seahawks that allows them to change their approach or allows them to play within the confines of the rules of the game, the shifting rules of the game, without losing any edge?
You know, you really have to give Pete Carroll a lot of credit for that. I mean, the guy always kind of stays on the cutting edge of the NFL. I think even though they'll tell you that they didn't do it purposefully, I think they knew that there were some things that you could get away with as far as being physical with receivers, and they took advantage of that. And now what's interesting, they did show good technique. They had 5 penalties in the preseason that would have qualified under this new rule emphasis, but 2 of them, the NFL told them, were the wrong call. So they did pretty well there. And most of those penalties were committed by non-starters, you know, guys that likely won't see the field. And now what they're doing, it's interesting because now the NFL is emphasizing that you can't hold the receivers. It could play to the Seahawks' advantage offensively because they don't have big wide receivers. They have little guys that, you know, if you could put your hands on them, you could jam them at the line of scrimmage and in other areas. So what we saw in the preseason is there was just a ridiculous amount of defensive holding penalties, you know, called in which guys couldn't contain these little Seahawks wide receivers. So it's actually like that rule is going to kind of play to their favor. I mean, Pete is just really good about trying to figure out where can I find an edge? Where can I find an edge? The guy is a grinder. I think we kind of associate with him with being kind of Mr. Hollywood, Mr. LA, Mr. Sunshine. But he's someone, he's in that office, and he works to really figure out new and innovative things. And that's something that we didn't know about him coming out of USC.
Jerry Brewer of the Seattle Times joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Marshawn Lynch had, what, three carries in the preseason. We know he held out for a little bit, yet Pete Carroll's telling everybody that, you know, he's never seen him in better shape. What's your read on Marshawn Lynch, and is he ready to go tonight?
Yeah, he's noticeably leaner, you know, maybe even by, you know, 7-8 pounds of muscle, maybe leaner. So that makes him look a little more explosive when you just see him running in practice. I see a guy who's focused. It's a huge year for Marshawn and trying to get a new contract. The Seahawks, he has one more year left on his deal with the Seahawks, but they're likely to let him go, depending on how things go this year. Or if he has a dynamic year, runs for 1,500 yards, he'll get, you know, a new 3-year deal, even though he's about to turn 29 next season. So I see a guy who's really focused. I'm surprised at how committed he has been so far to being more of a team leader than we've ever seen in Marshawn Lynch. I thought this would be a year in which he said, okay, you guys really don't want to pay me at the level that I want. I'll come in here and I'll play hard, but I'm not really going to invest in the Seahawks this year. I'm just going to go get mine. He hasn't been that way.
Jerry, it was good of you to do this, as always.
All right, my pleasure.
Take care. That is Jerry Brewer. You can follow him on Twitter, at Jerry Brewer. He's a columnist for the Seattle Times, does a terrific job. We appreciate him joining us as the NFL gets started tonight with the Packers and Seahawks. Seattle's 6.5-point favorites, 17-1 at home in the last 2 years, which would seem to indicate that they're well worth being 6.5-point favorites. Rob Babcock is the vice president of basketball operations for the Minnesota Timberwolves. You, of course, know him as the former general manager of the Toronto Raptors. The Timberwolves, very active this offseason, part of the three-team deal that saw Kevin Love and his hefty playoff resume sent to the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of a three-team deal. The Timberwolves got Andrew Wiggins, Anthony Bennett, Thaddeus Young, amongst others in return. And for whatever reason, I don't know what this says about the Timberwolves and basketball fans in Minnesota, but they've actually had one of the best two-week spans of season's ticket sales in club history since this trade. It's a trade that's been really well-received in the Twin Cities market. And Rob Babcock will join us when the Jeff Blair Show continues. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Right, you'll have to learn we have a rule. The only Van Halen song we play is Pound Cake. Because everything else is crap. Baseball Central is just around the corner. As a matter of fact, Kevin Barker's here someplace. And we'll be joined by Kendall Graveman. Just recently called up by the Blue Jays, a guy who's just rocketed through this organization after being an 8th-round pick in 2013. A lot of people on Twitter would love Kendall Graveman to be a closer just so that they could play around with the last name. You know, Graveman, closer. He'll join us at 12:40. The manager of your Toronto Blue Jays, John Gibbons, will join us at 12:15 as well. We'll talk to him about, a few things as the Jays get ready to attempt to sweep the Tampa Bay Rays after winning a series, after guaranteeing a series, I should say, a series win in Tampa for the first time since 2007 with last night's win. And they've kind of put the boots to the Rays in the first two games of the series and looking an awful lot like the team we saw in May. So John Gibbons will join us, Kendall Graveman as well. Yours truly and Kevin Barker, Baseball Central, brought to you by Home Hardware, 12 o'clock. So before the break, we were talking about the Minnesota Timberwolves. The hardest thing to do as a general manager in any sport is to make a trade when your hands are tied. Whether your hands are tied by a no-trade clause, a limited no-trade clause, a bad contract, whatever. The hardest thing to do is when a guy has basically forced his hand out of a city. Even harder when you have the greatest player in the game essentially lobbying on Twitter for him. So I think the Minnesota Timberwolves did a pretty nice bit of business this offseason, all things considered. Trading Kevin Love to Cleveland as part of a three-team deal. Anthony Bennett will profit from a change in scenery. I think Andrew Wiggins is going to be allowed to grow and flourish at his own rate in Minnesota. What I find interesting about this is it appears as if Timberwolves fans have kind of bought into what the organization is selling. Anecdotally, at least, it appears as if ticket sales have experienced an uptick since the trade. I think the appearance by Andrew Wiggins and Anthony Bennett and Thaddeus Young at the Minnesota State Fair was very low key, but I think the fact that the Timberwolves got their guys out in the community right away, the fact that the Timberwolves brought a newspaper ad trumpeting the trade, allowed them to get ahead in some ways of the news cycle and spin it and make it seem less like they'd lost Kevin Love and more like they had gained a couple of really good young players who, for different reasons, are going to be extremely motivated this year. Rob Babcock is the vice president of basketball operations for the Minnesota Timberwolves. And Rob Babcock joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Rob, thanks for doing this. Always good to talk to you. The basketball people with the Timberwolves, I'm sure they have their reasons for, and I'm sure you guys have your reasons for liking this trade from a team point of view. But are you a little surprised at how the fans seem to have really bought into this as well?
No, not really, because everything was drawn out over quite a long period of time, and all the speculation, you know, once it became public that Kevin wanted to be traded and was not going to opt into his contract. So I think over that period of time, you know, the Minnesota fans are very much like the fans in Toronto. They're very loyal. You know, a lot of blue collar people, and you know, once Kevin let it be known that he didn't want to be here, I think they wanted to get the best possible deal done, and I think they feel that we really did the best we possibly could do under the circumstances.
You know, and it's interesting because I saw a couple of interviews that Flip Saunders did just when the deal was getting completed. And in some ways, there were some similarities to Toronto, I thought, because I think a lot of people were looking at this and going, oh, my God, it's just like Kevin Garnett all over again. They can't keep him happy. He wants out. And Flip Saunders said, wait a minute. We re-signed Kevin Garnett a couple of times. Like, you know, there's this idea out there that, you know, everybody wants to leave Minnesota and go someplace else. The same thing in Toronto. And the fact of the matter is, guys in Toronto, you know, it's not like they're leaving at the first opportunity. I mean, Vince, Chris Bosch, they re-upped. It's not like they just scooted out of town as soon as they had a chance.
Right, and that certainly may be some of it. But, you know, whatever the reasons are, the fans have really embraced the trade, and it's we're excited. We certainly are losing an exceptional player in Kevin Love, and there's not many players that can do what he does in the league. So that certainly hurts your team. There's no question about that, a perennial all-star. But our future is very bright with these young guys. They're all really good guys. They're hard workers. Our athleticism improves significantly. We go from being one of the least athletic teams in the league to being one of the most athletic teams in the league. And, you know, we have an opportunity now to really improve our defense, which was a real weakness over the last couple of years. And so these are all real positive things.
What do the Timberwolves see Anthony Bennett as being?
Well, I think the best way to evaluate that is wait until he gets here and see him go through camp. I mean, I can tell you my own evaluation from watching him more in college than in the NBA, because he played a whole lot more in college than he did in the NBA. But you know, I see him as a power forward. I know that he's been played at both positions, but I think that his best position, at least right now, will be at a power forward. But you know, he may show different abilities than what we know right now. He did have a very, very good summer out in Vegas. We were very impressed with him out there. His conditioning, lost 20 pounds. His stamina much, much better. So I think that he's a real plus in this trade, because he certainly is not. His ability is not reflective on what his performance was last year.
We're joined in the Jeff Blair Show by Rob Babcock, Vice President of Basketball Operations for the Minnesota Timberwolves. One of the things about Andrew Wiggins, a lot of people made this point going into the draft. He's a good enough defensive player that whatever aspects of his offensive game need to develop, need to mature in the NBA, he should be able to give you NBA quality defensive minutes, shouldn't he?
Well, he's going to have a lot to learn, obviously, you know, about playing defense in the NBA, but he does have tremendous talent to play defense, and he has a willingness to do it. You know, those are two crucial things to be able to have both of them. He does have both of those, and he's got the athletic ability at his size and length to eventually, when he gets stronger as well, I mean, he's a guy that could eventually guard four positions.
Mm-hmm.
and he brings that type of versatility. So that's a huge plus for us, defensively. And like I said, offensively, he has a lot to learn. He's very talented. He's got great skills. His shooting has a ways to go, but it's getting there. But it's just a matter that the kid is 19 years old, so you know, it's going to take quite a while for anybody 19 years old to learn the NBA, which is a very, very tough league.
Rob, you've done this a couple of times. What's the most difficult thing as an organization to do with these young players when it comes to transitioning them away from college and into the NBA? Like, what is going to be the biggest challenge for Flip and yourself and everybody else with the team?
Well, the biggest challenge for these guys, I think for all rookies coming out of college and for players coming over from Europe as well, is the defensive end. The players are so good offensively, and the coaches are so well prepared and know how to attack and so forth. Most guys struggle getting minutes early on because of the defensive end, not so much because of the offensive end. So, we will really be pushing hard at the defensive end. I mean, that's an area where Flip is adamant that we have to make major improvements in. And these guys do have the talent to do that. You know, and people forget about, you know, Thaddeus Young is a proven player in this league, mm-hmm. and he's going to be able to help us as well, and is another good athlete.
Rob, when you talk about Thaddeus Young and what he can bring, to the equation here, you're bringing there's three or four guys coming in. How important is it going to be in training camp to try to get, because you did lose Kevin Love, a guy who, as you say, does a lot really well. How important is chemistry going to be when it comes to getting these young guys in right away? And is the onus on the young guys to fit in, or is it on guys like Ricky Rubio and other guys to make them feel comfortable? Where would the onus lie?
Well, I think it really comes from the veteran players and the coaching staff. They create an environment, for the players to thrive, and they create an environment for the players to, share the basketball and support each other. And so Flip is very good at creating those environments and a place where the guys, want to come to practice. They work hard and they have fun. And they're together off the court as well. But, a lot of it you can't force. A lot of stuff, it just happens. And you've got to have the right group of guys. You can have 15 guys that individually are all terrific guys and have lousy chemistry. It's got to be the right mix of guys, the right mix of leaders. You got to have the right mix of toughness and so forth. So, whether we have all that's you won't know that until we get into the season and see how things go. But we really like the character of our team, the work ethic, and we do have some guys that have some real toughness as well.
Rob, it's good to join us today. Thanks so much. Best of luck this season.
Thank you, Jeff. Take care.
That is Rob Babcock. He's vice president of basketball operations with the Minnesota Timberwolves. A team that will probably eventually be adopted by a lot of people in this country with Andrew Wiggins and Anthony Bennett playing there as a result of that three-team deal. Like I said, it's interesting. Reading the reaction of the Minnesota Timberwolves fans on some of the blogs and the fan sites, just getting their reaction to the deal. A very measured, a very realistic reaction to the trade. They didn't even bother turning. They didn't turn the page. They ripped the page out of the book. Thanks, Kevin. See ya. As a result, the Timberwolves had one of their best two-week spans of ticket sales in club history. So Timberwolves fans obviously not giving up on their team after the Kevin Love deal. And again, I could be proven wrong, but Kevin Love is a great player. But Kevin Love in Cleveland doesn't make me any more scared of Cleveland than I already was. I'm not entirely certain that that won't turn out to be one of those deals that at the end of the day you're going, And I'm not certain it's one of those deals that's going to help I mean, it'll make Cleveland better. It'll help them. But as I said, it's not like they're bringing in a guy with this tremendous track record of postseason success. We appreciate Rob Babcock joining us. Want to congratulate again Anthony Kane of Kitchener. You have won our Leafs Nation Fan Fest prize package. Two tickets to Saturday's Fan Fest. Two tickets to Sunday's event. You get a tour of the Leafs dressing room, the alumni lounge, get the drop the puck at center ice. I don't think they'll let you do it during a game. Get to meet various player and alumni. Get to see the combine testing in Maple Leaf Square. They've got a family fun zone. The Toronto Maple Leafs equipment sale and the silent auction. It's going to be a really, it's going to be a really great couple of days. And Sportsnet 590, the Fan, will be broadcasting there live Saturday from 10 to 2. There'll also be a Hockey Central desk. You can get a chance to be a broadcaster down there as well. So it'll be awfully cool. Anthony Kane and Kitchener, congratulations. We will give away another prize package tomorrow. Another Leafs Nation Fan Festival prize package tomorrow. Tim and Sid will do the same thing this afternoon. Brady and Walker tomorrow as well. So if you want to go to Leafs Nation Fan Fest, you got to listen to Sportsnet 590, The Fan. That's it for the Jeff Blair Show today. Don't forget Jays and Rays tonight. Third game of that three-game series. Jays going for a sweep. And if you want to hear a lot more baseball talk, hang in, because Baseball Central at noon, fittingly enough, will be on at noon today with yours truly and Kevin Barker. John Gibbons making his weekly appearance. We'll ask him all sorts of interesting questions. Barker's loaded for bear. Barker's got like six questions he wants to ask Gibby. Five questions he wants to ask Gibby. Three questions he wants to ask. Kevin's got some questions for John Gibbons. Kendall Graveman, who's just called up as well, part of the September call-ups. He'll join us. Guys just rocketed through the Jays minor league system. So we'll have lots of baseball talk ahead. Baseball Central at noon is next, followed, of course, by the one and only Tim and Sid. Have a great day, everybody.